Good evening, friends and family, and welcome to a safe space radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am Dr. Richard Penis.
I'm Simon Wangsman.
I'm not giving any of these names, guys.
I'm Francis.
I'm Calvin Williams.
I am Lucas Wong. I can't decide. I haven't really spoken to you about this, but I can't decide if I should just take Lucas. Like, if I don't want to change my name like four times, so I'm thinking of just changing it to Hall preemptively, even though we're not married yet.
I would be honored.
Okay, cool. Because I'm like, I don't want to like change it back to Stadelman and then change it back to Hall, because like the amount of money you put into changing your fucking ID. So I was thinking like I'm just gonna change it right away to Lucas Hall.
Yeah. Well, when I was on the phone with the community affairs officer in your precinct this week, which is a whole other story, I wasn't sure
what last name to give,
what first name or last name. I'm like,
they have a file on me at the 83rd precinct and they have all the names, including I tried once to give them. I said, I just wanted you to know that I'm not trying to, you know, hide who I am, so I'm going to tell you that I've gone by Lucy and Lucas and Kristen and Chris. And then they were like, wow. And they were clearly like, at this point, because my mother was calling them trying to get me committed every day. I think at this point my bosses had called, because, you know, we have a relationship at Pumps with the cops. Because they said, that's not your only name. And I was like, what? Do you know about how my bosses called me Lucifer? And they started hysterically laughing. And they were like, yep, that's the one we were looking for. I was like, okay. So that might be in the file as well.
Yeah, Officer Lopez, who, let me give a shout out to Officer Lopez, who's very professional, very good at his job, and he resolved the issue. He took the time. He was not, there was no eyebrows raised to trans people or anything like that.
Oh, no, you know, they actually, can I tell you that they actually defended me to the hospital workers at Woodhull who were being offensive? The 83rd precinct said, you call him Lucas. He deserves respect in here. This is a hospital. That's what they said.
Yeah, it's you know, I've called out the police on many issues, but when they get it right, I'm gonna
they get it right. No, I will say my entire time working and living in Bushwick, the 83rd precinct, other than the white boys who can't read, that's what their person giving orders said. She said that. I'm not saying they can't read. She said that.
And then we finally stumbled on Lucille at your address, and
he gave Lucille, because it's like this bitch tried to call the cops on me, and then he gave like not any of the names I'm going by now, and they never knew me as Lucille, because like Bushwick knew me as Lucy, so because they never Bushwick never wanted to give me Lucille, because they were like, that's not really like a name we use anymore, and so like Lucille was just like foreign to them probably. They were like, who is this Lucille?
And Officer Lopez, so Lucille, okay, is, and he said very tactfully, he said, are there mental issues here? I said, yeah, that's the one.
I told you there's a file on me. There's a very thick file. But I've asked them to take me to the jail instead of institutions before, and they won't. They're like, you're not a criminal. And I said, I can become a criminal. And so I started walking over. David was acting wrong, so I thought, I'm just going to kick him. And maybe they'll – I'm really going to kick him real hard, just like lightly kick him. But if you kick someone in front of the cops, you know, he says I was going to kick him nuts. I don't remember that, but – probably the cop literally comes and picks me up before I can get him with from the arms. Then he doesn't even bother to like pick me up in a different way. He just decides to keep walking because like I'm so light to him, and bring me all the way downstairs that way, like just holding me like from my arms. And then all the cops, so then I go, because they all knew about like my Team Tiny too of the Bushwick Police. So I was like, isn't it so funny when we can just pick up Team Tiny? And they, all the cops started like hysterically laughing about my Team Tiny reference. So there's definitely a good file.
Did you probably weren't fighting. You probably just went limp like a cat.
I was just mad they were laughing. So I was like, oh, isn't it so funny? I was just making jokes. But like they were laughing too. And then we like sat with I forget her name, and I'm going, I'll mention it next week. There were two, I told on purpose, there are people like reaching out to me because, you know, I live stream everything. So there's people reaching out to me in the ER. And I was like, right, you know, remember these names of these police officers because they did such a good job at talking. We, like, they took a computer and we talked about how, you know, the mentally ill are wrongfully killed and how we can work on that. And they wrote it all down and they have really been, I've seen like changes since we've had that conversation. And we spent like an hour almost before they put me in VR, like in the ambulance, just like sitting typing. And then I made that delusional. It wasn't delusional, but it was like, I was made that website as a joke, the Team Tiny. And then I sent her there. She wrote it down. So I really hope she didn't go, but she probably did.
Your Team Tiny website looks more like an Oscar acceptance speech.
It's just like, what the fuck is that? Because I gotta listen. If you've been institutionalized for 5 years and you get out, that is a better moment than winning the Oscars. Except, I'm still not sure about institutions yet.
You just,
my dad told me I'm out, but I don't know that my dad has that authority over my mom.
It's just a big list of people that you're thanking.
I was like, no, because my father sent me an email saying, like, well, you're done with institutions. The institutions said I was done with institutions. The health insurance said we're not going to pay for this shit anymore. Then my mom figured out Woodhull will just do whatever. But Woodhull just, they didn't update my records. So they were like, well, she has a history and whatever. And like, Woodhull's just the most incredibly offensive place in the world. It's like the bottom of hell. That's why I wanted to go to jail. I was like, I'll go to jail. But we're moving out of Bushwick to get away from Woodhull. Actually, to get away from my abusive husband who knows where I live because he wouldn't give me my cat back otherwise. But there's that.
Yeah, so a few. Couple reasons to get away from that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I've been to Woodhull one time. That had like a sudden medical emergency at work, and I live through it, so I'm cool with that.
It's that bad.
So the psych, they the whole time I was there for days. They didn't feed anyone. And my mom, I woke up days later. She was like, you deserved it, Kristen. And she just, everything was like, you deserved it. And then she's like, what are they feeding you? And I was like, nothing. She says, what do you mean? And I said, no, I've literally received no food since I've been here. She's like, what? She was like, are these people stupid? Do they know how crazy people act when they don't eat? Have they ever met you? So then she somehow, they calls up. Like, I'm talking like, I know social workers who have tried to get these people fed, like in New York, like there's so many social workers that have tried to get that place shut down. Like nobody can get somehow. So then all of a sudden I get like five nurses on me and they're like, you told your mother we weren't feeding anyone. And I said, well, you're not. And so then they kept me in just long enough to show me that they're going to feed them twice. Which I didn't eat both of the times because the way they were threatening me, I was like, they definitely poisoned just my food. I told the kids not to eat any of my food. I was like, we're going to leave this like plastic wrapped. I'm not sure that Woodhull wouldn't have killed me. Like, it just leave mine plastic wrapped. You guys have yours. The kids, like, they had not been eating so long. They were having like a party. Like, they were throwing food. Like, they were like, they're like, thank you. Then they like, it was like jail. They helped me get out because they told you there's like no one phone call. There's just no phone calls. So they helped me get out by telling me how to use the phone, which was like, there is a way to use the phone, but yeah, and now I fucking forget the number that you. I was like keeping that in my head in case I go back to Woodhull, but I can't remember. No, I'll just.
It's probably nine. It's always nine.
No, it was different one than it was a different number. It was like a pat, like it was a specific thing. I had to like, it was like hard to get out. Like they were saying you can't get out, but like they had figured it out and they didn't use it themselves so that they can like, use it in them, but. I got the inside scoop. Street justice.
So just before the show tonight, I did a mildly technical thing and changed the background on my Skype. Lucas freaked out
because he doesn't know how to do any tech, and so I wasn't even able to. Which I'm totally fine. Like his mother, I just took a test online and it said, "Who's your real love?" And it said his mother. It just said his mother. And I said, that's accurate. Yeah, I was like, that's accurate. Like, he, like, knew, like, it was, like, it just, like, knew. And I was like, that's 100% my real life is his mother. So, like, it's not him, it's his mother. So, like, I'm totally fine with waiting till she gets the vaccines. But I'm thinking like, bitch, if like I can't take a test and come see you, well, who, where the fuck are you? I was like, I'm so, when I wait till him to walk away and then I look at Calvin, I'm like trying to be calm, but I'm like, where's Francis? like you can see it, his face is like.
Like, if, Lord, if that's your cool face, I'm afraid of what your angry face is.
Straight
up, he was like, where is Francis?
You know what? Listen, some of my friends have messaged me before and been like, you have no chill. Like, just absolutely no chill. Like, you just never know how to have it, like, chill. In better news, my sister is in labor, but it's in bad news, it's been going on for like 3 days. Ooh, so there's that.
Wow.
Or tomorrow, like, they think it's going to happen tomorrow, and that will be the third day.
Now, this is going to be your first time being an aunt, isn't it?
An aunt? I'm not an aunt, bitch. I'm a godfather.
An uncle.
You need to go call the E83rd precinct and they can give you an education
about my gender.
I mess up my gender all the time. But I'm not going to be an aunt.
I came up during dinner today. And
and you had to tell your mom I'm going to be an aunt. Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, that's why.
But listen, we're going to, I promised your mother, she asked me if, she's not that confused because she asked me if she could walk you down the aisle to me. I don't know if she remembers this, but I promised her that years and years ago. And I, right after I left Crispin, you know, and at that point, we had been taking off the wedding ring every time I saw her, even though but at that point, I'd already left him. So I was like, yeah, okay. And but like, she's going to know it's the wedding when like they say Lucas, not Lucille.
Mom lives in her own bubble. She's no, you, like, I can't believe the priest made that mistake.
What about like the invitations? And, like, how many people are we going to blame for making that mistake?
The printer?
Stop. Fine. Your life. It's your life. I promised her. But the worst part is she wants to sit at the fucking church. Like, I'm going to burn up in that church.
No. No. So, you sent some music. What would you like us to play first? Or like
the pink song. First? The pink song. What's it called?
Don't Like Me, Get Me?
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about this song?
No, I mean, I haven't thought about this song since. I don't know how I thought of it. It just came to my mind yesterday. But, you know, probably because I'm in, like, the lyrics probably, but this was probably my favorite song growing up, like, other than like this was my like, one of the happier songs, you know, because I also had like the sad like Dresden Doll songs that I've since mostly grown out of. I mean, I'd grown out of it for 15 years until the last week, and then I started listening to Amanda Palmer and I was like, you know, shit's got bad when you find comfort in Amanda Palmer. But you know, but all right. So Pink was my happier music. And go.
All right, here we go. This is happy music.
Never win first place. I don't support the team. I can't take direction and my socks are never clean. Teachers dated me. My parents hated me. I was always in a fight because I can't do nothing right. Every day I fight a war against a mirror. I can't take the person staring back at me. I'm a hazard to my. Don't let me get me. I'm my own worst enemy.
And we are back.
Oh, sorry. I'll say that on the air then. The irony of the fact that that's my happy song and the lyrics are I'm a danger to myself or I'm a hazard to myself. It's not lost on me.
Where is Frances? I want the exact address if you have it so I can go over there and kill him myself. And it's not jealousy. Like, if it was normal.
No, I probably have a threesome first and then kill you.
And then kill you.
And only you, not her. Like, or him or whatever. I wouldn't be mad at them. I'd just be like, you said. So at one point in treatment, he was able to, like, the pandemic had just gotten like a lot better. And so he was able to meet up with somebody. And it's like, of course, the only time is like while I'm in treatment, but, you know, so I'm not going to let him lose that opportunity. So I'm like, it's just, I said, they thought I had COVID. So they quarantined me. So they gave me my phone back. Terrible idea. But his happiness the next day just made me so happy. You know, I'm just telling the 14-year-olds, they're like, how's Francis? I was like, well, he just, you know, because that generation, they already get it. Like, their parents are, like, basically our age. So, like, their parents raised them, right? But their parents, so, like, I was like, well, you know, he just, you know, met up with date last night. He's really, and they're all the girls are like, great. And, like, you just have this, like, big, beaming smile. I'm actually, like, prefer if somebody else is fucking you. Sometimes I'm like, go find some other lovers. You're like, I'm just really satisfied with you. And I'm like, there's a lot of pressure, Francis. Can you find somebody else too?
Calvin, casual sex. Do you do that?
No.
I didn't think so.
You know, I'm not a big casual sex person either. Like, I usually end up like, even I end up with almost everybody I'm with. They're just in my group of people.
Well, there's also the whole like decades long dry spell.
Yeah, but that's not like, that's not because you're not really cute. I think that's just because like you're really like, you really like want, like you're really cute. Like, I feel like I could find you a girl or
in a second.
And
in
like
second.
And then like I said to Francis like before the pandemic, I was like, we'll just walk into a bar with him, I could find a girl and he wouldn't even have to talk. You could just walk, because which I know is not appropriate, but when I was influenced a lot by the L word, I used to think that like it was appropriate to just walk into a bar, not really talk to a girl, be like, want to go home, and like, so I was like the epitome of that like character Shane. I was actually doing that because it was problematic, but it made a lot of girls cry. Oh well. I still fucked, but it still wasn't a one time fuck. I still kept fucking them. But the problem was, like, poly wasn't really a thing in the lesbian community back then. And I didn't even know what poly was, but I was trying to preach it without ever hearing about it. Like, I didn't know what poly was. But I was just like, I just think we could all really be more of a community. And like, these lesbians were like, what? I was just like, and so I just made them, but at least I was really honest about it. You know, I never, ever lied, but they cried and they were like, I came up to my mother for you. And I was like, well, nobody asked you to do that.
Wow.
I actually said that once.
Wow, that is savage.
I was a terror. An absolute terror.
I have tried to be both a mother and a father to you. Lucas would say, go fuck yourself.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a George Carlin joke.
I know that
one. You know that one. I'm glad I gave credit. So you know.
I didn't actually know that one, but I was actually giving that one to you, Francis.
And if it weren't for the fact that I get in my own way in like most things in relating to like being social, I'd probably be a lot better off. Like, you could probably find me somebody in 3 seconds, and I'll screw it up.
I mean, once this pandemic's over, we're bringing you out. Because otherwise, my friends are going to be like, where are you hiding this?
This beautiful piece of
my friends and girls are going to be like, what the fuck? You had this eligible candidate, and you withheld it? Like, you know? It's really hard to find a good man. Like, girls are like, Like I actually know, like, a lot of girls are like, why? Do you know anyone? And you're like, trying to think through your Rolodex of male friends, and you're like, well, he would do this to you. He would, you know, and you don't want to be responsible for setting somebody up, and then it
right
goes explosive. I mean, not that I haven't done it before, but my mom's set up like 4 marriages. I don't think any of them are together anymore, but
hey,
they did all have nice kids and stuff.
Hey, I may, like, well, we'll see how the end of this pandemic pans out, and we'll
how long do you think it'll take before we all get vaccinated?
Biden had a town hall. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, in the case of me, 6 more days.
Oh, you're on it. Yeah, I'm trying to wait because, like, you know, I go to Cal and Lord, and so I'm not even asking because I know they just have like a lot of vulnerable populations, a lot of HIV and stuff like that. Mm. So you don't want to take away any of their. I mean,
Mom
I'm technically.
Mom's supposed to be on Friday, and I was going to see if I could get it at the same time. I probably will, but anyway, it was postponed 3 weeks because of the shortage in New York City.
Mm. She's 88. I want head control of this. Like, I'm mad.
I know.
Yeah, that's great.
I know.
So
it's not right.
I know, like, so many people my age have gotten it. Why doesn't she have it? But it's just because they give to each spot. And so you have to, like, find the lucky spot. You know
and
what I mean?
That's exactly what happened in my case. There's a vaccination center that opened up in my neighborhood literally today. So,
and then okay. So you went in.
And so and I went on to the city website, signed up for it. It took like 4 or 5 tries, but I was able to get an appointment for this Friday. So,
yeah, I think like a lot of like these big businesses have like paid them off to get like their entire staff done. Like all at once, and then they take a big amount of the vaccines. But like, then we're like giving it to those offices before we're giving them to the elderly, like your mother. And it's make it my blood boils.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
No, I've done some research.
Okay.
I mean, I obviously you're always inferring because everybody's research, you know, articles can always be wrong, and nobody knows what the hell they're talking about ever.
So as to when everyone can get it, Biden said, and he's doing the science thing. He said by July it'll be available to anyone who wants it, and he says that things will be somewhat normal by Christmas.
When are they going to force everyone to do it? Because that's when things are normal. Is when like it's like we all have to get a polio vaccine, like. What is everyone going to... I know a lot of people are, like, really upset by this. They're like, listen, I do believe in the Great Reset. I do believe the way they handled us economically in this pandemic, like, was a plan. But I don't think they like, necessarily planned the pandemic. I think they just planned that we're going to handle the next crisis this way. And we're going to bankrupt everyone. Does that make sense? But that, I don't believe that, like, we should all not get vaccinated because we'd all be dead if we didn't have vaccines. Like, what are these people talking about? Like... Oh, you make it autism. You know, before pandemic, before we had those vaccines, they just didn't know what autism was. There's not more autism now. There was no recorded autism before that because it's like you're thinking before polio. You know, like they're just we hadn't done that sort of and like people who were autistic. Like there's so many people like Einstein was like probably like they just weren't diagnosed.
That's a very that's an excellent point. That's a very
they just weren't diagnosed because so we didn't actually have that diagnosis yet. So that's why they weren't diagnosed. Funny how that works.
I definitely have to give you that one.
Yeah,
but I'm really...
you know, autism is not like a bad thing. Like you know, those kids are gonna as a teacher, like I, you know, those kids can like achieve a lot of things and like. You know, like, it's actually, like, really offensive to be like, if you don't want an autistic child, don't have a fucking child. If you can't deal with an autistic child, like, that's not the worst of, like, something you could deal with. If you can't deal with an autistic child, you are not fit to be a parent. You are not fit to be a parent. End all, be all, period.
I think The Good Doctor, I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but I think it's a really good thing for autistic people. It shows a person... it follows the career of a person with autism as he becomes a surgeon, and as he explores and learns, as he explores his unique gifts make him really great at medicine, but he has a lot of problem when it comes to normal social interactions. Right. And I think it's great that they are showing that someone with autism that is functioning very highly can use their gift in ways that help people, but they are going to have unique challenges when it comes to socializing.
I'm going to say this. I hope my sister never hears it, but it's just facts, whatever. So I'm not speaking lies on the radio, so whatever. You know, my sister is a genius. She is an epidemiologist. She's trying to cure AIDS. I think if anyone's going to cure AIDS, it's actually going to be her. Like, if anyone's going to find, like, a vaccine for it, she is a genius. But, like, she, you know, my mom, they wanted to put her in special classes. And my mom, you know, my mom begged them for 10 years to put me in special classes. They would not do it because they were like, no, you're, but, like, but my sister, when they said she needed special classes, she was like, this is offensive. No, you're not testing yourself. My sister never got tested for anything like that. So we don't know if she has whatever, but my mom would like try to like handle it herself as she wants to handle everything. My mom was like, I'll handle this anorexia myself. You know, like, she wanted to like handle whatever was my sister was going through herself. So her way of handling that was like, she was like, send us in. Like, Laura has to order it. And but she'd sit in the car. And so I'd be like 3 years old. Starting at like 3 years old, I started being like, it's okay, Laura. I'll just order it for you and we'll lie to mom. So then I like started as we getting older realizing like, oh shit, like I probably shouldn't have done that because like at one point I'm not going to always be with my sister to order it for her. But then that day that she got married, I was like, great. Now I don't have to worry about it anymore. Somebody else is dealing with it. So like I was crying when she was walking down the aisle. My parents were like, fine. I was like, I was one like, I put her on such a pedestal and she deserves to be there. She's a genius. She's lovely. She's so wonderful. But I was like, I was like the day she walked down that aisle, I was like, thank you, Brian. You can order all the sandwiches and do that. And I vetted the guy like real bad. They had to move to New York City before. Like, I was like, I don't really know about him. Da da da. And she didn't know. So she like moved him to New York City. They had to go to Columbia for grad school. And I think it was just so like me and my brother could vet him. My brother didn't vet him at all because my brother's a fucking loser. Back on
you
the
are listening to a safe space radio on Radio Free Brooklyn.
As you say that.
And it's that halfway point where I probably might be laughing too much to read the copy, but
I got it ready for you.
All right.
Safe space other than for Matthew.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, City Running Tours. If you live in New York City and you run for either fun or exercise, here's a way to learn something about the city year while you're getting in your workout. City Running Tours is now offering neighborhood running tours designed with locals in mind. New York City takes pride in the diversity and character of its neighborhoods, and these unique running tours offer an opportunity to learn the history of our neighborhood and get personal recommendations from your guide. Choose from tours of 23 neighborhoods, including the East Village, the Upper West Side, Bushwick, Long Island City, and Roosevelt Island. For more information about the running tours and to see the list of neighborhoods and full tour schedule, check out their website at cityrunningtours.com/New York City. And check out a live tour every Saturday at 10 a.m. at instagram.com/cityrunningtours.
And if you could, thank you for that, Calvin. And if you could cue up Toots and the Maytals' Pressure Drop. That's the one with the highest energy level of the songs that I sent you. And I'd like to keep the energy up because we have great energy going on the show right now. This is... getting distracted. This song is about... It's written about karma. It's... he said a song... This is what Toots said about it. It's a song about revenge, but in the form of karma. And, you know, he died in 2020 of COVID. And I'm thinking about people who did... I'm thinking about Trump, who didn't do a goddamn thing.
Mm. Remember when he got COVID and he didn't die?
Yeah, I know. I'm dedicating this to Trump. Toots and the Maytals. Is Francis. Hey folks, Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we could definitely use your support. Many small businesses have been having a hard time, been rough. So if you'd like to, give your tax-deductible dollars to radiofreebrooklyn.org/support.
Slash what?
Donate.
There you go.
I almost got it all right. But at least you knew to listen closely. RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/donate.
Lucas, you're all right?
Yeah, I'm just explaining to somebody. I'm sorry. I got distracted. This isn't the ADHD.
Yeah, I got distracted too because all I'm hearing is click, 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 click.
I thought I was keeping it away from the microphone.
Click, 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 click.
All right, I'm sorry. I won't do that anymore. I was just trying to explain. Because I like to explain when people are like, I'm really being sensitive about that topic, about the trans stuff. And I'm like, and yes, you should be for other people, but people don't really have to be sensitive about the topic for me. The only time I don't like it is when people purposely use it malicious. So my mother will do it, and like my ex-roommate Zach Crispin, you know, people who hate you will be like, they'll be like, she, and if people start saying like Lou steal like that, like if they're using it over and over because as a way to like purposely use that you're not. But if somebody just says she, like, I do that too. You know what I mean? Like, I'll still use my social. Like, that's not a big deal for me. But for some people, it is. You know what I mean? But
it's definitely a big deal when someone's being malicious doing
it. So at one point, like, Renfrew had sent this, like, I'm not going bad against Renfrew. I think they just, like, started to think maybe they didn't. I don't know why. This probably had nothing to do with Renfrew. It probably had to do with American Addiction Center. Renfrew, like, had... I picked out, like, a rehab for myself, and, like, Renfrew picked out a different rehab. So whenever Renfrew's concerned about me, they have the rehab that I didn't go to call me. But Renfrew, like, clearly does not understand, like, exactly what was going on with me, because they were like... Because I actually, like, don't really drink that much. Like, they were like, we have down here that you're, I like could talk to them today. They're like, we have down here that your drug of choice is alcohol. I was like, no. I was like, you don't even know my drug of choice. But anyway, they started calling me Kristen, like on a phone call, and I flipped out on them because I was like, because I thought it was like out of malice, and like, I just can't deal with that. Like, say, correct that. I can't deal with that. Yeah. That last one was sort of my mother's impression, though.
Oh.
My impression of my mother.
Kristen.
But then she says, like, to my... She goes, Laura, Matthew. That's how she speaks my siblings' names. It's not that she's not motherly. She's just not motherly with me.
Laura.
Kristen.
Matthew.
Poor Matthew. The worst is when she says, he's probably listening right now. Poor David. Because my friend David, like, he goes through all these antics, and all my friends are like, we got to drop him. We're dropping David. And then my mother's like, well, what would it say? We're, well, so she then she informed David without asking me. Like, I'm on there on phone call, and she, he has her on speaker, and all of a sudden I hear, she hadn't even heard, like, if I had plans for Christmas. And I did have plans for Christmas, but she's like, Chris, she doesn't even use my name, Lucas. She goes, Kristen will cook you. You don't have plans for Christmas. Kristen's going to cook you Christmas dinner. And then she calls me up and tells me what to cook, because she said I can't cook fish on Christmas dinner because we're Italian. And it's like, we do have like a ritual about that. But I was like, not only is this bitch like planning my Christmas, but she's planning the meal that I'm going to cook. So then we had Christmas together. We didn't. I really hope my mom, I know my mom's not listening, because she would never listen in. We're, my sister's in labor, so I can say this. We didn't end up eating.
That's not funny for someone with an eating disorder. There's no humor there whatsoever. None. Especially on Christmas. And he just keeps laughing.
I didn't eat on Thanksgiving or Christmas. Jesus. But I am doing better. Well, actually I'm not, because Instagram told me to go back to treatment. It's just that I've outwelcomed my stay at Renfrew. I've out, what's it called? They don't want me back. I've stayed in my, what's the expression?
Overstayed your welcome.
I've overstayed my welcome at Renfrew. So, like, luckily I don't have to go back to treatment anymore. It's one way to handle it, is you don't want to go to treatment anymore, start a fire. Don't listen to my advice, children. Don't listen to my advice, children.
Yeah, follow that advice, not the one prior.
Yeah, that's like the advice I gave to my niece on her 14th birthday. I said, whatever you do, don't ever, ever, ever take advice from me.
Yeah, when you said that, I remember I was like, good. That I said to you, I said, Francis, that was the best advice you ever gave. And I'm your partner of 7 years. I'm the worst. Of 7 years, and I'm like, great advice, Francis. Oh, there was that one morning a few weeks ago where I said, Francis, it was like 8 a.m. I just went up. I said, Francis, are we artists? He said, yeah. And then I said, are we good artists? And he said, well, at least you are. And I said, have I succeeded at all as an artist? He says, yeah. Have I made money as an artist? He's like, oh, yeah, you're living off the money you made from an artist for like almost 2 years in a pandemic. Now you made money as an artist. I said, okay, that's all I need to hear. And then he goes, for what? And I said, I'm going to go get high now. It's like 8 a.m. I just wanted to make sure I was successful before I got high. I hope Renfrew's not listening. I hope no one from Renfrew's listening, or any of my therapists. I know I tell them the truth, but like, it's just worse when you're like announcing it to the world. Kids, don't be me. Don't be. Well, they all call me daddy, but it's complex because at Pumps we have another daddy. We're not supposed to, so I'm trying to like transfer it to Pops. So that was my grandfather's name, but I think it's just going to stay daddy, because, like, you can't really change it. Like, I didn't ask them to call me daddy. They just started calling me daddy. I think this is why I got kicked out. The children.
Calvin, did you have a song this week you wanted to share with us?
I really didn't, but...
Yeah, you'll think of one.
Yeah, this way we each get one in this week. Show's been going real fast. There's only 15 minutes left, so I wanted to give you a shot at that.
He doesn't have his computer right now, so he doesn't have everything downloaded. So you might have put him on the spot.
Running everything off my tablet. So it's
we can just keep talking. You know, I'm fine.
I have another song if you don't have because that I gave him already.
Actually got a song that a friend of mine just released last
week. Oh, nice.
Oh, great.
And it's a really good one too. It's a soulful R&B track, and she admits like you may want to be careful while playing this song because you
might have sex accidentally.
Pregnancy may happen listening
to
this song.
Exactly.
It's one of those. So this is the debut song from my friend Nico Ladine down in Washington D.C. The name of the song is Energy.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
Going on all of the sex playlists.
after you saw me bounce.
Legit.
After you saw me bounce, you're like, I want that bounce into my... Never mind. I was going to say it, and then I was like, this is public radio. Children, children should not be listening to this show ever. I mean, it's called ass. Like, you know, I'm trying to Rose is like really respectful. Like, you know, like, yeah, I mean, most people I think are in public housing, like, who are in pros, but, you know, these are like really respectful women in my pros community. And like, they're like, what's the name of your radio show? We're going to listen. And then I was like, and I was like, Art Star Scene. And they were like, what? And I was like, a safe space. And they're like, what is. And then I'm like, I'm just like really trying to make sure that they don't realize that it's called ass. I mean, they'd be okay with it because they all laugh. Like all these women, they're always like, at the beginning of the pandemic, they were like, Lucas will be fine. He's got 7 boyfriends. So you know, I have 7 people at all times asking me to fuck them that night. But.
Yeah, I mean, you can still find this the Art Star Scene page by going to rfb.nyc/ass.
And that's what I saw. They were like, asking me how to find it, and I was like, shit.
And that is the easiest way.
And so I'm like, I'm trying to, and I was like, ass. They were like, what? I said, a. I think we're really trying not to. I never said it. We're not even allowed to swear in group. So like. It hasn't swear, you know, I'm like, we're really trying to think about it. But like... I encouraged you to use it. I think you were like, I don't think we should use the Archer Scene. I was like, well, you know, maybe that's your legacy, and you know, because at this point I'd written about you in college. I still thought this was appropriate. And, you know, I said, yeah, baby, do it. Not knowing that this was just on me, because I was gonna get, I was like, I'm not getting involved. You were like, you're going to come with me. I was like, no. And then I would just try to not get involved by working on those nights. But then he would, like, talk about me. So I was still sort of involved on the nights that I wouldn't come.
Yeah, it was either going to be the Face Boy Show or Ass Radio.
And I said, everyone loves ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I sent, like, a picture of ass. And then he said, okay, my ass. And then he wanted to. This is the whole, then he wanted to use my ass as the fucking, like, logo. Sticker. And I said, you can't just, like, put an ass, a picture of my ass as the sticker.
He's like, you're like, it has to be something that looks like an ass that isn't actually an ass.
I'm still happy I made that choice, but we need a better picture, like, the 3 of our faces. Can we just take a nice portrait with Adrian and use that as our fucking logo? I'll pay for it. Okay.
We can do a photo shoot on my roof, and Ben does all the.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. You had said Adrian. Ben had already agreed to it.
Yeah, we'll do a photo shoot on my roof, which is a great setting.
But you had wanted Adrian. We can do Adrian too. It doesn't matter.
And Adrian, we're gonna do the family portrait.
Yeah, well, so then Calvin actually can come with family too, because family is actually not just who you fuck. So like, we're gonna have my friends.
Did you just say family is not just who you fuck?
Yeah, I did. I guess that's an obvious to everyone else, but I guess I had to. Never mind.
Yeah, that
you're
took
right.
A couple of seconds.
That just has to be clarified. But I was like. I guess I thought I was thinking like it was gonna be my mom.
You have to clarify that he doesn't mean blood family when he says that.
I didn't mean blood family, but so basically I'm gonna have my friends Peter Medaglia and Calvin and you, and then we'll do like a nice, we'll just do a nice like sitting, like where we look like we're, I don't know, in a fine art portrait, a smutty one, but. A smutty fine art portrait.
I don't know if Calvin does smut.
Okay, well, he doesn't have to, because that's the whole point of a portrait. Everyone can wear what they want. Give me their... I'll gonna try to fucking make some accessories for people. And then they can wear what they want. I'm just going to try to make some like accessories that keep us all together in a family portrait. But I was thinking people could like pick out their own like pants and shirt.
Okay.
I don't think we're... It's a portrait. I didn't think we were going to be... smutty. It's just that we're essentially smutty. Just we're already labeled as smutty.
Smutty by association.
We're smutty. We're like what we talk about. Like you could be smutty without having sex, because it's smutty. It's like how your mind works, right? I will be like sometimes I'm like devout, like especially when I was growing up. Like I saved myself till marriage, and then I got something traumatic happened. So then I was like, fuck this shit.
That's why I'm glad my show code is nice and simple. It's nowhere near like ass related. It's actually, my show's code is actually LUV because that's so nice.
Like yeah,
there was another show
ours
that
is
was,
really like I can't share that with everyone.
There was another show that had the initials LVR. So Tom gave me the show code LOVE, and I.
My poor sister. Her initials are my parents didn't think about it, and the amount of teasing she got. My sister's initials are LES, and so like even though she's never had any lesbian experience except for this one time, from when she was getting married, and I don't think the kiss even happened. She was getting married, so I bring her to the slipper room, and I was like, well, we're gonna bring her to the slipper room, and my friends are like, we're gonna put her on stage. They were like, it was Matt Fraser and, you know, that was there and all that. They were like, oh, Lucille's sister's here for her. We're going to bring her on stage. And my sister's really shy. You know, I just told you about the story. And then they're just thinking, it's like Lucille's sister. She's down for anything, right? And I think they knew she had gone to Wellesley. They're like, this girl's definitely down for anything, right? Because Wellesley's like considered not like, you know, like a very lesbian school. So she gets up on stage and they're like asking the two girls, the two brides, to like kiss each other. And like my sister like didn't want to do it. And then probably because she's actually like a good girl and was about to get married. You know what I mean? Not about the lesbian thing. Just like, I'm about to get married. I don't want to fucking kiss you. And then like the other girl's like forcing her. And like, it was just, I don't remember what actually ended up happening because it was too funny. I'm sorry about that, Laura. She's not listening to this because she's in labor, but sorry about that. I was pissed. She just doesn't even want to kiss somebody on stage. My sister.
How dare.
I was like, clearly she does not understand my sexuality. It's not true at all. I was just having one of those moments. All right, can we play? Do we have time?
No.
We don't. All right, next week. Next week. Yeah, I've been trying to play this song for 4 weeks.
What song?
It's the I Remember by Deadmau5 and Cascade, but it's not like a typical Deadmau5 song for people who go to clubs. It's not. It's a very, like, you would never play in a club. I tried to play it in a club on the main stage at Webster Hall, and they were like, absolutely not. Like, because I used to get to choreograph on the main stage, they were like, no, no. They were like, everyone would leave the club. I was like, this is a Deadmau5 song. Isn't that they're like Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Like, Deadmau5 would walk into the club. This bitch doesn't even fucking have to take off his fucking huge hat shit. I used to get really pissed because we'd all fucking work on our makeup so hard, boys and girls. And this bitch just walks in with this fucking like thing on his head.
Next week we'll do it early on in the show, but we have to wrap this up.
All right.
So this has been great. This has been fun. Thank you so much, Lucas. Thank you so much, Calvin.
My pleasure.
You seem to be in a better mood than when we started. I know I am.
Yes, I am.
Thank all of you for listening. I am definitely. And tune in next week. Every week we have had new shows and live shows. I've only missed one from this whole pandemic. And hey, folks, please be loving to yourself, be loving to others. It's important. Always has been, always will be. And you know that it is. Take care, all. We'll be with you next week.
Bye-bye.